Well, we just want to bless you this morning, and as we are coming up to the celebration of our nation's independence, so make sure that you guys stand up when your branch of the service is mentioned, okay? All right. Sometimes we take our freedom for granted, as though it can't be lost. Yet they can't be maintained accidentally or protected casually. They have been preserved with the spirit of sacrifice by the blood of Americans, sons and daughters, who have dug the trenches, stormed the beaches, flown the missions, nursed the wounds, and endured the hardships. Every generation must be reminded of the debt we owe to those who have fought for what we enjoy. Every generation must step forward to fight for those who will follow. Every American must pause to salute the men and women who have defended and continue to defend the freedoms we hold dear. So will you please stand as we honor your branch of our armed services today.
United States of America.
American flag waving in the wind. Those colors, red, white, and blue, have come to mean something sacred to all those who love this nation. We can't see the red without being reminded of the courage of patriots and the cost of freedom. The white reminds us of our purity that our land needs, a purity that can make us great. Blue, the color of loyalty and justice, inspires us to be true to the legacy we've been given and to work not only to preserve it, but to share it with others. The red, white, and blue, Old Glory, is truly a grand old flag.
We are moved by
whether we're facing good times or tough times, Americans are a people who cherish the blessings of liberty. Because we enjoy these blessings every day we live, we take great pride in saying, America is my country. And we'll never stop asking God to make us the nation we ought to be, to honor all that He has given us.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank the Lord above that I'm living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
Bless the USA.
Amen. Amen.
May it the banner wave.
Amen.
Well, at this point, as the choir does exiting, I'm going to ask Billy Joe Heyman to come and grab that microphone over there. And he's going to share a little bit this morning. Wait till we get the squeakiness gone here. Thank you, Billy.
My name is Bill Heyman. I'm U.S. Army retired. I retired as an E6, medically retired out. I wanted to share with you guys today why I joined the service and what it meant to me, and why I think you all ought to be happy with what you have today, because of what the military has done for you. I was raised up in a small town, and my family has all been in the military throughout my whole life. I had an uncle that was in the Army, a grandfather that was in the Army, and they all bestowed upon me what it meant to be a soldier and take care of the nation. And I didn't understand for a long time as growing up why people went to foreign lands and fought when it had nothing to do with America. And my grandfather used to share with me, the only reason we have America is because we do that. For God gave us this country, and if we don't defend this country and defend the rights of other people, we didn't stand a chance to maintain and keep this country, that He would take it away from us. And if you look today, that's what's beginning to happen. Now, I promised my wife I wouldn't preach a sermon up here today, so you're going to have to kind of watch me a little bit. I joined the military in 1975, and it's a lot like giving your heart up to the Lord. All right. It's a lot like giving your heart up to the Lord. You have to make a decision first if that's what you want to do, just like you make a decision you want to serve God. Second thing you got to do is you got to go be sworn in, and that's where you go to the cross here and you kneel, and you ask Him to accept you. You're doing the same thing in the military. As you do that, you get assigned to a unit, and you start to be trained. You start to learn the Word. You start to know the works, and you learn how to do it and become proficient at it. Once you get done with that, that's your basic training. They move you into what they call advanced training. That's your next level with the walk with the Lord. That's where the Holy Spirit starts to deal with you. And then you start going into that. You learn this area that you're the expert at or that you're most proficient at, whether it be in my field, it just happened to be I was a sniper. I worked with special forces. And other guys, they were better at doing different things, and that's where they moved to. It's just like becoming an evangelist or becoming a preacher or becoming a teacher. God looked for the best, and that's where He put you at. Military does the same thing. They look for the best, and that's where they put you at. A lot of times you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through or why you're going where you're going. But you got to figure, it's kind of like Hebrews 13:17. You're just going to follow that leader and be submissive and obey what they give you. You know, the military is set up and founded on the Bible, and a lot of people don't realize that. The procedures, the way it's conducted, the works that are done in it, it's all governed by the Lord. And I was proud to say that I served in the military. I was injured in the military. They had to reclassify me. I couldn't stay with special forces. They put me in the next field they felt I was best at, which happened to be maintenance. So I went in as a battalion motor sergeant, but military being like the nation is, a little confused at times, they put me right back with a special forces unit, so I had to raise a lot of cane about that. If I couldn't do the job and couldn't jump out of the airplanes and do all the fun stuff that I used to do in special forces, why would you assign me back to them? They did reclassify me from there, and they put me into a maintenance battalion. They put me with 9th Aviation. I became a battalion motor sergeant for them. And then I, in 1986, started getting very sick, and they decided that they had put me in some areas that I shouldn't have been, and some chemicals had gotten a hold of me that shouldn't have gotten a hold of me, and it took me out of the military. But to this day, I still consider myself a soldier. I will always be a soldier. Not only am I a soldier for the Lord, but I'm a soldier for this nation. For I believe that if I can stand up and do what God's called me to do, so can everybody else. And if you believe the Word of God, the Word of God says, lay down your life for your neighbor. And that's what soldiers do every day, is they lay down their life for you so you can have the freedom that you have and be able to do what you can do. And that's all I've got.
Thank you, Billy. Next, I've asked Miguel DJ Padilla to come up and share. He has a nice PowerPoint presentation and everything for you today. So he's my Mr. Organization. Make sure you talk slowly and into the microphone, or you'll have to interpret yourself in Spanish. Okay.
Good morning, by His Word. My name is retired Master Sergeant Miguel de Jesus Padilla Ferrer Sepúlveda Cintrón. So you know mamas know how to give a good name, don't you? Amen. Well, I come from a very military family in which the men were required to serve in the armed forces. My grandfather was in World War I. Most of my uncles was in Korea and Vietnam, And most of my cousins was also in Vietnam also. Excuse me, World War II and Vietnam. And then my cousin was also in Vietnam, Korea and Vietnam. So when it came time, because I had gone to college for 3 years, I decided it was my time to follow the family tradition and join the armed forces. At the time I had met Millie, so I didn't want her to at least stay behind, so I made also the decision to marry the love of my life. For 28 years. And she's been with me every step of the way, pushing me and dragging me, because there was sometimes when I was in the military, you get to times you feel like you're losing, you know, the battery. And thank God for women. And I thank for the women, because they always keep us in check and, I mean, push us when we need that little kick in the behind, you know what I'm saying? And she was there. She was there for me. Every time she saw me that I slack, she went ahead and said, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, shine your boots, you know, do your uniform." And, you know, she kept me in check. So I joined the Army in January 1981. I went to Germany twice, came to Hawaii twice, came for Lewis. Travel the world, that's one of my goals. I want to travel the world with her. And then in 1999, I was involved in a very bad accident. And I am here. I am testimony that I'm here. Because her obedience to the Lord. She woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the world woke her up, and the accident happened at 6 o'clock. And it was because of her prayers, I believe I would have been dead. And the other gentleman. So her obedience have me here standing. I'm the testimony of why I'm here. Like Brother Dean and his wife, the same thing. So from there, I was permanently disabled, retired in 2001 because, like Brother Bill said, I could not continue doing my duties. So I knew it. And I'm a fearful believer. If you cannot leave from the front, you have no business in being like the tail of the dog falling from behind. So I made a decision to get out, but at the time, some orders showed up that I was supposed to go to Korea, and then they changed them because they knew I couldn't, you know, I was very, very, very hurt. So then in November 2001, they gave me the orders to retire, and then the orders showed up again to go to Korea in January that year, the following year, so that stuff got changed. And so I got out. It was not easy at the beginning. And so prayer kept me, and like I said, Millie trying to, you know, help me, and the church, the brothering, and that's what kept me, you know, going. So when Tammy called me up to let me know that she wanted me to speak, it was like a big explosion of Skittles. You know, it was all kind of things coming through my mind, color. I could just taste it. You know, and all these stuff keep coming. I'm writing stuff down because I don't want to let it go, because what I wanted to do was, I said, "Lord, what can I share with the brethren so they could relate of what I'm talking about?" Because a lot of people believe because they're not in uniform, they cannot relate. But I'll tell you, you're going to have a surprise coming, because I'm going to show you by the word of God what the word says about being a soldier. You know what I'm saying? And I'm doing this according to what I experienced in the military, my life, and the things, you know. It's not saying that it's the standard. Because I guarantee you, if you sit down with these 18 points that I have and you go through them, you come with a different thing, because that's how unique we are. Okay, can you please, slide, please? Okay, here we go. The first thing, they call us soldiers in the natural, but we were warriors of faith in the spirit realm. And it says in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier in Jesus Christ." One. Then one says, "We build character and values in the natural and fruits of the spirit in the spirit." So, because I know most of you don't know what Army values is, but it says it's loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. The third point says, we make leaders in the natural. Anointing makes leaders in the spirit. And one of the things, the definition of leadership is the ability or the art to influence others so they can accomplish the mission. You hear that? If you put that in the spiritual realm, people, we have plenty to be able to influence people with all the tools we have. And I'm going to continue in reference to that. And one of the things I put there was 1 Samuel 16, chapter 17, is a story about David. When he got, you know, anointed by the prophet that he was going to be the king, and then when he come in front of Goliath, and it really touched me because he was bold. I mean, he was anointed. He told Goliath, "You come all dressed up for battle with your lance and your things, and you come and map my God. I will have your head today, and this place I'm going to give you to kingdom come." That was powerful. Then from there it says, we have a chain of command in the natural, and it's in then in the spiritual we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And what I wrote on that one said, "But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So you see the similarity. It's just incredible. The similarities of this stuff. You'd be amazed. Number six, we have cadres and instructors in the natural, and we have fivefold ministries in the spirit realm, Ephesians 4:1. I said, and we have some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Number seven said, we have battle gear in the natural, armor of God in the spirit. It says Ephesians 6:1, and it says, put the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. Number eight, we have ARs, TMs, UCMJ, the natural, the word of God for the spirit realm, Hebrews 4:12. I'm not going to read that one. And then it says number nine, we have units, companies, and battalions in the natural, congregation of saints in the spirit realm. And it says Psalms 113:1. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." Number 10. It says, we sing cadences in the natural, praises of worship in the spirit. Mama, mama, can you see what the army done to me? I used to wear the faded jeans, now I'm wearing an army greens. I used to drive a hat. I still got it. And, you know, the praise and worship, I can't really sing, so I'm going to leave that right to the pastor. He sings better than I do. Okay. The next one, it says, we use passwords and encrypted codes in the natural, heavenly language, in the spirit realm. The Latin says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Number 12. We say Hua for motivation in the natural, amen, hallelujah, and agreement in the spirit. And I want to prove this to you. Okay, where's all my military people here? Okay, in the count of three, I want you to give me a big Hua. One, two, three. Okay? Now, I want my saints to do the same thing. Okay, in the count of three, I want you to give me amen. One, two, three. So we talk about motivating, ain't we? There we go. We stand for freedom in the natural. Set free the oppressed in the spiritual realm. 13, I got to read that one because that's good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He had sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It says, number 14, we have missions to accomplish above all in the natural, a vision to reach in the spirit realm. And it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number 15, we have a battle buddy in the natural, prayer partner in the spirit realm. And it says in James 5:6, it says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another and yet be healed. Then supplications of the righteous may avail such in his works. 16, we have infantry and artillery support in the natural. Angels are our service in the spirit realm. 16, the angels of Jehovah encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. Number 17, we have awards and promotions in the natural, eternal life in the spirit realm. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth into flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but that he that soweth into the spirit shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Yeah. Number 18, we pay the ultimate sacrifice by losing your life in the natural. That's what a lot of our soldiers is happening right now. A little bit. Gain your life by laying it for others in the spirit realm. 18 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for the sake shall find it. Isn't that incredible? So, not because you did not wear a uniform, and I just prove it, you're a soldier. You're a soldier. So what I want to do, I want you to confess this with me. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. From now on, I will fight the good fight. And I never again will be defeated. Because my commander in chief, my Lord Jesus Christ, have delivered my enemies into my hands. Amen.
Thank you, Miguel. Thank
you. If you want a copy of this PowerPoint, I'm going to leave it this and leave it in the church, and you can have it. Because like I say, if you sit down with it, you're going to have fun.
And Jerry Sharp, I've asked him to share for a few moments this morning, too. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Yeah, this would help. Praise God. You know, I always get choked up when I start talking about it. The love of my country, my flag. So many people have paid big prices. And I hope we never get to a place where we take it for granted. And I find my flesh doing that occasionally. And I just have to bring it under subjection. I have to remind it that you can't have your way. It's not yours to have. I'll find my notes here in a minute. My family, yeah, I don't dwell on this a lot. And I think a lot of servicemen don't dwell on the pomp and circumstance and all the things that the civilian community sees. You see parades, you see all the regalia, all the things that are going on. But you know, the things that make a soldier, an airman, and a marine, and so on, are not all the big fancy things and the big to-do. It's little tiny things that you just don't put together until you really focus on it. You know, you see these parades where the soldiers come out, you see them all dressed right, and it all looks beautiful. And you see the retirement ceremonies and the award ceremonies. But you know what's going on in the minds of the soldiers? Gee, I wish this thing would get over with. My feet hurt. My back hurts. And then you got a one or two that'll just go boom and fall out because they've been in the sun for hours. But it's all part of the life of a serviceman. It's getting under trucks, climbing into engines, getting dirty, going out, shooting your weapon, playing war games in the exercises and stuff like that. You do them again and again and again. And you'd say to yourself, ain't we got this down pat yet? And you, as much as you'd like to use your experience, you dread the day. You dread the day that you have to. But in all that, you're willing to give your life. You don't make that decision lightly. And we have men and women today giving their lives for what they believe in. And we have critics that want to criticize them. And you try not to criticize them back. It's hard. Because when you have someone that's willing to lay down their life for what they believe and the freedoms of other people, can relax in them while they're being criticized. It's hard. It's hard not to stand up with a unrighteous yell and a scream. Make you want to cuss sometimes. I'm just being truthful now. You know, for me, I think it started in 1972. I was a very rebellious young man. I was wild, crazy. I was running around in two different gangs in the city I was in. I was born and raised in St. Louis. And used to run both sides of the rivers, running in gangs and doing all kinds of mayhem, things like that. I didn't think I'd reach the age of 21. I thought I'd die before then because of being involved in drug culture and all, just a mess. But I do remember when I was a little boy, grew up in a Catholic church. And as religious as we were, there were a few people with standards. There were people that did things, they did them religiously. But I knew God was speaking to me as a little boy. You know, and it was through a lack of examples that drove me away from a closeness with God. I had no one explain to me salvation and how the mechanics of life, because there were just no men there that were worthy of being an example. You know, what they were doing just didn't line up with anything the church was talking about on Sunday morning. And so I left. I just went my own way. And in 1972, I was out at a party. I was partying it up. I mean, I was a mess. I was at a party, had this little disco ball going off, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't even see straight, much more having this little thing flicker and driving me crazy. And I remember just going over and sitting in the corner. And I just began to weep. I said, there's got to be more in life than this. And I thought about my uncles and my grandfather. They had been in the military. But they were poor examples too. I mean, they were doing their own thing in life. And so I just got up and left the party. I just left the party. I said, I'm going home. I didn't tell anybody. And they had driven me there, so I was quite a bit of ways out of town. So I just started marching home. I just, you know, all messed up and drugs and been drinking. But I said, I'm going home. I got about almost all the way to the house. I guess I was about a half a block from my house. And I sat down on these steps. And I began to reflect on what the future would hold for me. And I was disgusted. And I put my head in my hands. I was sitting down on a short step. And I fell asleep. And it just seemed like a moment later, somebody was tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And I remember opening my eyes, looking down, and I seen the shiniest pair of shoes I've ever seen. And I'm, yeah, exactly. I'm thinking, oh no, it's the cops. What did I do that I don't know about? Where am I at? I'm trying to get my focus together. And as I began to look up, I started to see, well, these pants look kind of funny. And I looked up, and I saw this guy, and the sun was coming from the backside, so I couldn't make a whole lot of things out. And this guy looks at me, and he reaches out his hand. He says, you look like you could use a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, this ain't a cop. Who is he? No cop would offer me a cup of coffee. Yeah. So I backed up, turned around where I could actually see him. And I said, wow, this looks like somebody in the military. And he opens up the door. And he says, come on in. I'll make you a cup of coffee. So I'm not doing nothing. I ain't got no place to go. I go on inside. You know, I go on. And I sat on the couch. And he's milling around taking care of stuff. He's putting some coffee pot together. And on his wall was this huge map of the world. It went almost the length of the ceiling to the floor, from wall to wall. And he had all these map pins on it. And it had these little, you know, these little strings that stretch from all over the place to connect all the pins. And they were all centered coming from St. Louis, going to different parts of the world. And I got this crazy idea. You know, I don't even know this guy. I haven't had a cup of coffee. I'm just got this crazy idea. I said, hey, can you give me a ruler? And the guy says, a ruler? What do you want with a ruler? I said, don't worry about that. Just give me a ruler. So he gives me this 18-inch ruler, and I started measuring these strings. And he's watching me. You know, the coffee's over there perking, and he's watching me, and he's not saying anything. So I found this one string, and it was the longest string on the board. And I said, I turned around to him, and I said, how quick can you get me there? And he says, do you know where there is? He says, it doesn't matter. How quick can you get me there? And right away, his lightning fast mind, he's saying, this guy's running from the law. And he told me where it was, and it was going from St. Louis to South Korea, Seoul, Korea. And I looked at his face, and I said, look, I'm not, haven't done anything wrong. Well, anyhow, nothing that the police are looking for me. And he says, okay, hey, well, we got to get you qualified. And I said, don't worry about that. I'll get qualified. I'll pass any test you got. I wanted out of town. And so the process started. We sat down. We filled out a bunch of paperwork. And the following Saturday, I was down at the MEP Center. I was taking my physical. Where everybody else, they were saying, Army, Marine, Air Force, Army, Marine, Coast Guard. And I saw people doing this, trying to dodge because they didn't want that branch of service, you know. Yeah. Well, the draft was still going on. But I was a volunteer. So I just proudly stood up there, and I knew where I was going. I didn't have to dodge. So I got everything done, and I went into the delayed entry program. For those of you that don't understand that, you sign up and you go later. And so I began to reflect on where my life is possible, possibly to go. And the longer I stayed in the service, the more I learned to love my country, its people, and my flag. And it didn't come through all the things I mentioned before, all the pomp and circumstance, all the things about history and all this stuff. It came out of wearing your wet weather gear and standing up for 2 or 3 days with no sleep, leaning against a generator while it's running, falling asleep, and having somebody come over and get you and say, "Hey, Sarge, it's time to move." It came from bitter, hard times, being consistent in what you did, learning what discipline was all about, learning how to walk with authority and being subject to it. And there's, on my notes here, there was three words that always stuck with me in the military. And they stick with me still today. And those three words are discipline, commitment, and authority. Those are the three things that guide my life. It's not duty, honor, country. I mean, that's for generals. That's for people that have big, popular speeches to make. We're not doing that today. And I learned that in the military, we're under law. But now, I'm under grace. Now, for discipline, the things that really stuck out for me was in the military was control. I had to learn what control was. Controlling myself and learning how to control others. Regulation. Regulating things. I had to learn about correction, obedience, and order. All the things that I needed. And I knew I needed it. Sitting out on those steps, as messed up as I was, I knew I needed it. I didn't have nobody to come up and give me a speech to tell me what I needed. I knew I needed it. For commitment in the military, I learned responsibility. I learned dedication. I learned what it meant to be loyal. Having a sense of duty. Not just showing up to work anytime you want to. And having a sense of requirement. I used to tell my troops when I'd get into trouble, I said, "You know what?" And this still holds true today for everybody in this congregation. When you go to work, did you know that 75% of your success is getting up, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, combing your hair, if you're a man, shaving your face, and getting to work on time? The other 25% will happen just because you were there. The rest of it will fall into place. Even if you don't know what you're doing, somebody will show you how to do it. Somewhere. And for authority, I learned leadership. I learned what power is, true power is. I learned what authorization means. Having the last word, the final say. And having the right. Now, under law, it's easy to mandate something, to point to somebody and say, "Hey, go clean up this," or "I want you to go do this. You know, tote that bar. You know, pitch that bail." But as soon as you step out of the military, it's a little bit different. You know that real quick. You're not going to have too many orders. But in the military, you also learn some things about dealing with your family, your wife. You can't treat her the same way you do when you go under law. You try to bring law into your home and then you got a mess. You know, and we got people that still do that. They treat their families and put them under law instead of under grace. Now those three words, discipline, commitment, and authority, now have different meaning for me. For discipline, it's self-restraint. Chastisement, modification, subject, and educate. We've got a long way to go. We're not there yet. We won't be until Jesus comes. Commitment. I learned faithfulness, what it means to be steadfast, devotion, allegiance, and have an obligation. And for authority, I learned what influence means, ability, permission, conviction, and having evidence. Not just telling people you know it all, but demonstrating. You know, when you're under law, it's all external. But when you're under grace, it's all internal. And that's the difference in those words. Because when I was in the military, they taught me some valuable things, and I needed it. There was a time in my life I just needed to be put under law or house arrest. You know, and there's times when you put yourself under law, because the flesh needs law. It has its own mind. It does its own thing. It doesn't comprehend the Spirit. And still today, I have to put my flesh under law. I can speak Scripture to it, and I can overcome, and you know, God's grace, I can get healed. But there's times when this flesh just needs to be put under law and restrained. Give me a bag of potato chips and a Coke, and I can tell you, I'll eat the whole bag if you don't snatch it from me. If you don't put law out there, I'm gone. I'm telling you, give me a good piece of birthday cake. I don't care what kind of diet I'm on. I've got to be put under law. So, you know, as we honor, our country today and the servicemen and the people that have paid so much of a price and those that are still paying the price, what holds us in a place of honor is that we give respect to where honor is due and where respect is due. I've heard it for years. You have to earn respect. You have to earn respect. Especially in a day where there's poor examples. But in the military, you had to just give it because it was just due. So just remember, when you ponder our country, what it stands for in the world, and how you can make an impact, even though you may not have ever been in the military, just honor those with respect and honor that deserve it.
The military people come back and have our pastors pray for them this morning, just in honor of your service and maybe some things that you still might deal with today because of your time in service. And so just come forward, and he doesn't have to necessarily pray for each person individually, but just our service members come forward, and our pastors are going to pray for you this morning. Amen. Just line up by the altars here. You feel like joining your hands together? We're all in this army. Amen. And I guess the families, too, if you want to come with them, if you feel so led.
Dear Heavenly Father, everyone here represented the armed services. Father, their life, as it goes on, is left to testimony. And may they stand firm in their commitment for the nation that they live in. And may their testimony continue to shine on long after they've donned the uniform. Father, may their integrity and their standing be a reflection to everyone they touch. until they go home to be with you in the Lord. Father, I thank you for the ones that spoke, and I thank you for the ones that are here. That, Father, they are a blessing, and they are the fiber and the core and the strength of this nation. As they stand here today in this church, I thank you for these men and women, and I respect them and I highly honor them for the testimony of their life because of the reason that they are standing here. So may the rest of their life be a blessing to others, and may the integrity that has dwelt in their heart to serve the military, may it be a reflection to those around to join in line with the rest to keep our nation safe and to help other nations that are in turmoil and to in nations where families are hurting and dictatorship tries to rule and the American hand goes forth to save and rescue them. May every man, woman, and child that understand what freedom is represents the fact of the integrity that every man and woman that are standing here represented. So, Father, I pray a blessing upon their life for others. I pray that when they leave the confinement of these walls today, they will touch another life with the same integrity to serve their country as they have. And, Father, we honor and respect these faithful ones here today. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that a blessing hangs over their life. And Father, before we even dismiss right now this service, Dave looks like he might have to go back over to Iraq again. We're not sure when, but Father, today, being the service to commemorate the 4th of July, Father, we speak a blessing on Dave, and we declare he's going to be over there safe and sound. And Father, may he reap the benefit financially so that he'll be free. And Father, we just trust and we know that he will be a blessing there and he will be preserved and protected because he belongs to the army of the Lord now in Jesus' name. We pray a blessing on him going there and a blessing on him being there and a blessing on his return in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you so much for being who you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service, the time that we cut out to give respect and honor to those who served. And so, Father, as we now dismiss this service, if there be anyone that would desire to receive Jesus, when we dismiss the service, please feel free to come forward. We have altar ministers here that will minister to you. And Father, if there be anybody here that needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit or want to return to fellowship, Father, we're here for them. Speak to the hearts now as we prepare to dismiss. And may they have a victorious day in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.